for Jesus as we go throughout this life, as we think about all that He does, all that He's done for us, standing up. He doesn't need us to stand up and cheer Him on, but standing up for who He is and all that He's done, not just for us, but all that He's done for the lost and dying world around us. He's done so much, giving so much to so many people. Just Evan. Need to go through life seeking God wholly, not just doing what we want to do, not seeking after the things we want to seek after. There's nothing wrong with seeking after certain things of this life. You need to seek after your job, and you need to be faithful with that. You need to seek after preparing food, because food is good, and we all need to eat. Anybody else ever get tired of seeking after what are we going to have for dinner? Or maybe you're tired of that question that your kids ask, or maybe your husband asks, what's for dinner? Well, we haven't even eaten lunch yet. Going through so many of those different things, we seek after. But the reality in life is that you and I need to seek after God, and it's not something that is simply done in our own strength. It's not something that's just a byproduct of life, if we've got time. But you and I need to seek after God. I need to constantly seek God. Not just, it's Sunday morning, it's time to pull out my Bible and go to church again. It's Sunday morning, where did I put my dress shoes from last week? Or where did I put this? Or, man, I have no idea. But it's not just going to church on Sundays. It's seeking God for who He is, all that He's done for you and for me in our lives. Psalm 27, verse 8, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And that as you and I go through life, we need to constantly seek after God. It's a daily choice. It's a throughout the day choice. Will I seek after God this week? What will keep me from seeking from God as I should? What distractions will I let get in the way of my life? I need to seek after God. Father, we thank You for Your love. As we open up Your word, we ask that You would speak to us, challenge us. God, help us to lay aside those weights that so easily distract us and beset us, and run with patience this race that's been set before us, seeking You constantly. We thank You that You want to change our lives, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seeking God is not just a checklist item. When you were younger, you remember some of those morning to-do lists. Get changed. Brush your teeth. Eat breakfast. Well, I don't know if not too many people have to remember to eat breakfast. But you've got a checklist of things you need to do in the morning. We think about pilots who get ready to fly an airplane. They have their pre-flight what? Checklist. And if you've ever flown, you're thankful for the pilot doing their pre-flight checklist. And there's so many different checklists and to-dos of life. But seeking God isn't simply another item on our to-do list. It's not just another, I've got to do this today and call it good. Seeking God is a way of our heart. It is something from my heart seeking after God and making Him the priority of life. Psalm 27 reminds us this, verse number 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face. God has told us to seek Him with our whole heart. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Here in Psalm 27, the psalmist says, I said, I will. There's this commitment to seeking God. And in order for you and I to seek God this week as we want to, or as we need to make that commitment. And often it's a commitment again and again and again. Lord, this week, help me to seek You and make You the priority of my life. It requires personal action as I seek Him. It requires personal action. The word seek means to strive after or search out, specifically in worship or in prayer. Seeking requires that. Diligence. You ever played hide and seek? You play hide and seek with a little kid and they get distracted after not finding you in 30 seconds. They don't have that diligence. And sometimes in the Christian life, that's how we seek after God. I'm looking for him, and I read my Bible this morning. I read through a whole chapter, and man, nothing stuck out to me. That was my good. You know, I read the Bible today. It's called good. But the point isn't just reading the Bible, but it's reading it with an open heart, that God can speak to me, and seeking, God, what do you have for me today? Would you change me? Would you challenge me? It requires the heart, the feelings, the will, the intellect, the very center of who I am. Seeking is that personal action. It's a personal commitment. He said again in verse 8, I seek thy face, Lord, will I seek. That personal commitment that he made. Someone has said, I might wake up early and go running, but I also might receive a letter with $1 million. The odds are about the same. That's not how we're to seek after God. We're to seek after God with a commitment. Megan is about to make a covenant relationship. An exciting time that she has. This isn't just to fly on the whatever decision that she's just, this sounds like a good thing, let's just go get married. They've worked through this, and this is God's will, and they've sought God. But it is a lifelong commitment. Amen. But just as much as lifelong commitment in marriage, us constantly seeking God is a lifelong commitment. God, I will seek you this week. How many of you know already this week you will be distracted from seeking God? I already know it in my life. So we need to commit this morning, God, by your strength and with your help, I will seek you constantly this week. See, the psalmist said here, it requires personal commitment. Waiting on the Lord. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but verse 14, wait on the Lord. Not just sitting back and saying, okay, God, I'm waiting for you to do something. But to bind together, perhaps by twisting, to expect. Like when you get real tired after standing up all day and you simply want to put your weight off your feet. And you're waiting on the chair. You're leaning back, resting that it is supporting you. God is the support that we need in life. We can't do it on our own. Now, sometimes it seems like we can. And then it's just like, well, God, I can't do it. That waiting on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So God is telling us from Psalm 27, we need to seek after God. We know that we need to make action this week to do it, and we know we must make a personal commitment. But this morning, as we see this idea, I want us to see three truths about seeking after God and the difference that it makes in our lives. Truth number one, seek God and receive God's internal peace. Seek God and receive his internal peace. This world is full of chaos. This world is full of trouble, turmoil. Just turn on the news. One thing after another. This morning, with so many prayer requests, how many deaths were mentioned? Where can I have peace in the midst of a storm? In God. Jesus says in Matthew, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall have what? Rest unto your souls. There is a peace that is found only in God. A peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Seek God and receive his internal peace. Look at verse 1. It says, the Lord is my what? Light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. The word Lord here is Jehovah, which is the self-existent, the eternal one. There is no one who has made God. In fact, he's made everything. He exists in and of himself. He is. Here it says, the Lord is my light. This one who has made all, who knows all, who is self-existent, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Look at verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they what? stumbled and fell. This is the opposite of stumbling and falling. And as we go through the trials and struggles of life, sometimes we just feel like we're stumbling and falling. And it just seems like we fell into a pit and it just won't reach the bottom. Where does it stop? But the Lord is my light and my salvation. The one who's there to rescue me. First of all, from sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants to be your salvation from the consequences of sin. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, Jesus died for your sin. And without shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness of sins. That's ultimate salvation. Sometimes people ask, have you been saved? And someone will say, yeah, I was drowning once and someone threw in a life preserver and rescued me. And they were indeed saved. But we're talking about ultimate salvation from ultimate consequence, from what I earn and deserve from my sin. Seek God and receive His inner peace because you can be at peace with God. Just listening to just a number of opportunities people had to witness last night. They recorded some of these, video recorded, and I listened and watched some of them, and it was incredible to think about that. They were taking these opportunities to share with people that they can have peace with God. One of the questions someone asked was, here I am, I've got a knife in my back, and he had a fake knife that he had stuck in his back, and however it was, attached it to his shirt and whatnot, and he's showing him, he says, I got a knife in my back, and here I've got 3 minutes to till I'm going to die. What can you tell me how I can get to heaven? And so he's taking this as an opportunity then to question people. Do you know how you can get to heaven? And so many people were answering him, well, you got to be good. He said, well, I know I'm not good. And I've got all this stuff and sin and all these other things. And the reality is he was going through to try to get them to think about the, can they go to heaven? God wants to save from sin. And he wants to be that saving hope we need in life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. But then the psalmist went on and said, whom shall I fear? God's not just our Savior from sin, but our Savior as we go through the trials and troubles of life. The one there to keep me from stumbling and falling as the enemies had done in verse 2. But it's not just that the Lord is my light and salvation. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Seek God and receive His internal peace. He's the strength of my life. Sometimes we wonder, how can I go on? Not just knowing where to go or being rescued from life, but how do I go on? Well, He's the strength of my life. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not what? Fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. When we have internal peace from God, there's confidence in God. Not that the situations of life are easy and the struggles and trials we go through, but we can have confidence that He is the strength of my life. In fact, in verse 13, he says, I had what? Fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This was one of our memory verses a couple months ago. But here the idea is, God is our strength so we don't have to faint. The psalmist is saying, I would have fainted if I hadn't believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord while I'm yet alive. But God is good. Sometimes it doesn't seem like He's good. Sometimes it seems like God doesn't want anything good for me. A couple Wednesday evenings ago, we were studying the life of Naomi. And she was just thinking that God did everything wrong against her. She lost everything, her husband, her sons, her food supply, everything. And yet as she waited on the Lord, she saw Him work. And as you and I seek God, we can receive His internal peace because He is the strength of our life. He is that one that we can wait on, fall back on, not just when we get weak, but really all the time. People say God is a crutch. He's not just a crutch, but He sure is what I need to have strength for this life. And God wants to give us that internal peace. Seeking after God gives us that internal peace. seeking God, it gives us the opportunity to give God's external praise. So it begins in the heart. Something that God does in my life transforms me. The situations of life that I go through that are tough, I can have His peace. But then it comes out through praise. Seek God and give God external praise. He says, dwelling in the house of the Lord. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Seek God so we can give Him external praise. He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord. Why? Because that's where God was. That's where He could meet with God and worship God. And in the reality of seeking after God. He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. There's one thing I've asked and wanted. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. If you and I want to give praise to God, it requires us seeing God for who He is. Do you ever struggle seeing God for who He is? Have that faulty view of God? Our circumstances in life tend to give those to us if we don't refocus on God's Word. If we don't use God's Word to look at the situations of life, we think God isn't fair. We think God isn't just. God isn't love. God isn't holy. If we focus on one or more difficult circumstances, how could a loving God allow that to happen? But as we stop and we look at the Word of God and we see God for who He is, we behold the beauty of the Lord. We see He is an awesome God. As we stop and read through even the Psalms, and if you want to call it building a biography of God and who He is, and getting a fresh perspective that God is beautiful, not in external appearance as much as His character and His love for you and for me. Beauty, this word beauty means delight, splendor, suitableness. He says to behold the beauty of the Lord, and then to inquire in His temple. This word inquire means to inspect, to admire, or consider. To consider in His temple. To inspect. What? Him, God, for who He is. We don't worship some dead idol. We worship a living God who wants us to know Him and wait on Him, as we're reminded in verse 14. Seek God so you can have that inner peace. Seek God so you can give that external praise. He says not only to dwell in the house of the Lord, but what does He want to do? Give sacrifices. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. That firmness, that committedness that I can go through life even when it's difficult. Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. In the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices, animal sacrifices to God, burnt offerings for sin, for worship, all sorts of offerings that they would give and sacrifices that they would give. Here the psalmist says, a sacrifice of joy. Man, God is so good. He says, now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. There are people who don't want to see us live for God. There are people who are opposed to us. And it's not about me being better than them, but he says, therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. God is good. The Apostle Paul reminds us throughout the book of Philippians that we can be joyful in difficult circumstances. Not because life is easy, but because God is good. And here the psalmist already said this, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Gathering together. Yes, we need to seek God constantly every day, but there is that important aspect of seeking God as a church family. That renewing, that strength, that together we can behold the beauty of the Lord. How many times do we, in our own devotions, sit down or stand up and sing four hymns. Not very often. But it's an opportunity as a church family that we can behold the beauty of the Lord. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. The beauty of the Lord. He's that rock. And some of these other aspects that ways that we worship God together, seeking God as a church family. Here he's saying in the tabernacles, the people of God gather together to worship God. Offer sacrifices of joy. He says, offer sacrifices of joy. Let's start at the beginning of verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. This word sing gives us the idea of singing skillfully with purpose. As we sing these songs and the hymns as a church family, it's not as filler. But it truly is with purpose to worship God for all that He is. He said, sing praises unto the Lord. This word praises, to celebrate in song and in music. It's an opportunity for us to worship God. Many churches refer to their Sunday morning 11 o'clock service as a worship service. But you know, our Sunday night at 6 o'clock service is a worship service too. It's about worshiping God as we gather together to sing different songs and listen to His Word again. Worshiping God. Wednesday evenings, we sing songs. And it's not as many. But why? It's one way that together as a church family, we can worship God. With skillfulness, it says, with purpose. Praises to worship Him. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. With a voice or with his sound, he cries unto the Lord to call out, to call forth. How many times in our life do we do that? Maybe it's in those hopeless situations. God, I can't go on. I need you. God, this just seems too tough. Would you just let me die? Sunday evening we talked about that with Elijah. God, would you just let me die? And yet he was able to take God's strength and go on. Because he got that fresh perspective on who God was. As you and I seek God, it gives us that perspective on Him so that we can praise Him through song, with our voice, as we go about around our ways. Chris shared this morning that this last week he had someone give him a gospel tract while he was working. That was one of those ways that person or those people praised God publicly. Because they acknowledged God can save me and He can save you. And Chris is like, well, what did I do to show Him I'm not saved? Right? I mean, but the reality is, man, they want to praise God. And when you give tracts, it's okay to give a tract to someone even if they're saved. That's an encouragement. Man, I remember when I worked for McDonald's and there were a couple young ladies that gave me a tract once, and I saw someone was given a tract before me because they left it sitting in their little spot. And, you know, that encouraged me as a believer. Sometimes it was just that encouragement I needed in that day because they were praising God because Jesus saves. And so here the psalmist is saying, praising God. Seek God and give that external praise. And number 3, seek God and experience God's abiding presence. You know, we can have His peace, and I'm thankful for that. And we can praise God, and He's an awesome God worthy of all praise. But as we seek God, we can experience His abiding presence. Not just we come to God and worship God in the auditorium, and this is where God is. Now, in the temple, we know that God dwelt in the temple in the Old Testament days, and there was the holy place, and I mean, in the tabernacle as well, and these places where this was specifically set aside where God met with them. Think about Moses and where God met with Moses. And Moses came out with a glowing face where he had to put a veil over his face. Yes, we meet with God here in the auditorium, but God's abiding presence is not simply here at Jerusalem Baptist Church in this room. This is a special room because this is where we get to worship God as a church family. This is a special room because we get to listen to the preaching of God's Word. But God's abiding presence goes with us wherever we go. He promises in Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's a truth you can cling to. Seek God and experience His abiding presence. The psalmist said in verse 5, for in a time of trouble He shall what? Hide me. He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. His abiding presence. He shall hide me or conceal me to keep me close. Not hiding from me. Look at what he says in verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. So God's not going to hide from us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to have that relationship. He wants us to experience His abiding presence. But will you commit this week to seeking after God? But it's just so tough. I know. Satan doesn't want us to seek after God. Because if we don't have God's abiding presence, we aren't as effective. We aren't walking in God's strength. We won't give that external praise. We won't have that internal peace. And we'll just go on in misery. He shall hide me. It's incredible to think about that. Hiding us from the struggles of life. Yes, He allows certain things to happen in life, but He is there to keep us safe. And outside of His control, nothing can happen to us. We're reminded of Job and the struggles that Job went through. God allowed those struggles to happen, but not beyond what He allowed. God kept him safe. And even if struggles bring us to the point of death, yet, as the Apostle Paul said, that there is life after death. He reminds us that as we seek God, to live for God, we can live, yet to die is gain. And there's so much peace in knowing God. And here, as the psalmist says, seek after God and experience His presence. He shall hide me. Many people claim a church as a place of sanctuary. We think of some people throughout history who have claimed the little Catholic church in their area as their place of sanctuary from the people around them, the government around them, or whatnot. In fact, in February of this year, an article was written here in the United States about illegal immigrants who are using churches as their place of sanctuary. See, the psalmist here isn't saying this tabernacle is his place of sanctuary. Nothing can happen to him or touch him. Our emotions come with us to the church building, don't they? But God's abiding presence is greater than that. And God wants to give me that strength and that inner peace so I can give that external praise as I seek Him and get that fresh perspective that God is beautiful, God is good, God is love. The psalmist said, He is my help. He has said not only that He'll set him up on a rock as a refuge, He'll protect him. Verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. God protects us. Aren't you thankful for a God who cares? But verse number 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. God wants to teach us, and the psalmist is saying, God, I am struggling in life, and I need you to teach me your way. God has a way, a plan for our lives. And each of us has a different one. Your plan, God's plan for your life looks a little different than it does for my life. Now for all of us, it includes what? Jeruel Baptist Church this morning. And I'm so glad you chose that and you followed Him. But the reality is, as we leave here, our lives look a little different, don't they? But as you follow God, He will lead you clearly. Whether it be for our teenagers and young adults as they make life-changing decisions as of marriage or where they're going to go to college or what they're going to do in life or some of these other things. Or whether it be for you and I as adults who seem like we're settled in life and as we make decisions and live life every day, that we can have God's clear direction. He will teach us His way in a plain path. This word plain means level or straight. He doesn't want it to be tricky. It's not a trick question. God wants us to know His plan for our lives. Are you seeking Him? He'll show it to you. This path, the word path means well-trodden road. God wants us to know what He's teaching us. He wants us to know His way for our life. We just have to seek Him. Seeking Him with a heart that wants to find Him. There are some people who seek after certain things because they have to do it and they're not looking. Like when you sent your kid to go look for whatever it was in their bedroom. I can't find it, Mom. Go look again. I can't find it. Go look again. I can't find it. And you go and you find it in 30 seconds. You're looking with two different perspectives. And God wants us to seek Him really desiring to find Him. Not just, I'm doing it because that's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. This is not what we're supposed to do. This is a relationship I can have. Seek God. He'll teach me. He'll strengthen me. Verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wow. We can see God is good. And sometimes the situations of life don't show that. So it's important to look back at previous times of life. And to look back and say, yep, God was good there. Yep, God was good there. Yep, God, yep, thank you, God. I'm glad you were good there. Because sometimes in our current situations, we think God's not good. But when we look back and see that God was good, it can encourage our hearts. One of the opportunities as we hear as a church family, we heard some this morning in Sunday school, and Wednesday evening we give you an opportunity to share praises, because sometimes in my life there's nothing, what do I see to praise God about? But it's encouraging when I hear other people praise God because they see what God's doing in their life. Here the psalmist is saying, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is good. You've seen it in the past. You will see it again. Maybe not right now. Maybe it doesn't look like it. But God is good. The word strengthen means to be alert physically, on foot, or mentally, encourage. We don't have to faint, but He wants to strengthen us. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So where does the strength come from? Where does that inner peace come from? Where does that external praise come from? Where does His abiding presence come? As I've made that personal commitment to take personal action and seek God this week. So what will you do? Tomorrow morning is coming. Satan does not want you to seek God. Satan wants you to have a horrible Monday. At least in the world they say, oh, it's Monday again. Man, I know Monday mornings when I worked for McDonald's and I'd be there in the drive-thru at 5 o'clock in the morning. And all these people that would come through, it's Monday. It's Monday. I mean, it really is how it is. And you know that from your opportunities at work and all these other things in life. People, it's Monday and Friday's coming. And well, it's Monday morning at 5. I mean, you got a long ways yet. And you know, you think about the reality of that. How do we have strength to go on Monday morning that it's Monday? Because I seek after God. But that's a commitment we have to make. You might even start seeking God tomorrow morning, and tomorrow afternoon you sure didn't expect that to happen. Or you did expect it and it came. You can still seek God. That's why we have to make the commitment. Plan ahead of time what I will do tomorrow. Because life is tough. And as humans, our mind get so distracted. God's not good. It's not worth following Him anymore. I've lived my whole life for Him, and look what He's allowed. I've lived for Him last week. I've served Him. I even went to church. And look what He's allowed in my life. But God is good. And that's where my commitment to seek Him comes in. I'll seek Him because I know it's right. And that's what Naomi said. We talked about Ruth a couple Wednesday nights ago, the book of Ruth and Naomi, and she sought God. She returned to the Lord and to His people because that's the only thing she knew. And she saw that God was good. That was a commitment to seek after, a commitment to go home from Moab to Bethlehem. And tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, we commit to seek after God. Not because that's what Pastor Josh said we should do. Not because I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to. Because God, I love you. God, I need your peace. God, I want to give you praise. God, I need to experience your abiding presence. So let's seek God this week. And let's commit to do that. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the difference that you make in our lives. Lord, we pray that you will help us to commit this week to seek you with our whole heart. Things are going to come up to distract us, but we make a commitment. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.